With inflation and prices rising, how will this affect your holiday spending? Where is God in this economic downturn? Find out more on the Charisma News in this conversation with journalist and author Michael Snyder after the break.
Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription.
Michael, welcome to Charisma News. We are happy to have you on this special day where everybody is out shopping and getting ready for the holiday season to talk to us about finances, the market, and what's happening. But first, introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on today, Adelie. It's great to be back on Charisma News. And most people out there, over a decade ago, I was actually an attorney. I worked right in the heart of Washington, D.C. Sometimes on my lunch break, I would even go walk right past the White House. But it's been a long time since those days. These days, most people know me as an author. They're familiar with my articles, which are published on my websites, theeconomiccollapseblog.com, themostimportantnews.com, endoftheamericandream.com, but then they're republished on dozens of conservative and Christian websites all over the internet, where they're read actually much more frequently. So people are familiar with my work, which is kind of basically syndicated and spread all over the internet. And then a lot of people know me through my books. I now have 7 books, including my latest book, End Times, which just came out, which people can find on Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle format, or if they just go to any of my websites and click the big pictures where it shows the new book, they can get right to it. And then I also appear on radio, on podcast, on television, on different interviews. The Lord has opened up doors for me to share kind of the end times warning message all over the internet. And a lot of my articles are focused on the economy. And I know that's, you're particularly interested in discussing the economy today.
Yes. And congratulations on your new book, End Times. Tell the audience one more time where they can get the book.
Yeah. If you want to get End Times, you can go to any of my websites and click on the big picture of the book, or just go to Amazon.com and type in the search bar, End Times, Michael Snyder, and it'll come right up. And it's available if you want it paperback. I like to have a book that I hold in my hand, so you can get that. Or it's also available in Kindle format if you prefer to read it electronically.
Well, let's get started with learning more about what to expect for the end of the year with the holidays and in buying season, and then also what we can expect to cross over into 2023. You have written recently an article saying the end of the retail industry as we know it today. What can we expect? Many people are saying that this will be a very negative season for the retail stores. You're saying that we're going to see stores boarding up and closing. And then also you talk about how organized retail crime is making an impact on these stores.
Yeah, the retail industry is being hit by kind of a double whammy right now, because for one thing, the economy is starting to slow down and money is tighter for people in particular, because the retail industry relies on discretionary income. That's income that people have beyond when they're done paying for basics like food and paying their power bill and paying their mortgage or whatever. Then people, I've got some money left over, I can go buy some new clothes or whatever, right? So, but unfortunately, because of inflation, cost of everything's going up. And in fact, the inflation, we haven't seen anything like this in decades. And people need to realize the way inflation is measured has actually changed. They've changed the formula dozens of times since 1980. So if inflation was still calculated the same way it was back during the Jimmy Carter days, we would actually be a bit worse today. So people need to understand that. And people go to the stores and they feel the pain of it. And so Americans have less discretionary income because it's taking a lot more to buy their food and their power bills and so on. And so one recent survey found that 34% of all Americans plan to spend less on holiday shopping this year in 2022. And so, everyone's kind of forecasting a gloomy retail season for major retailers. And that's a big problem, because for the retail industry, this is it. This is the big time of the year. This is when they make their money. So if it doesn't come in now, well, what we normally see is we normally see at least a certain number of stores shut down permanently in January and February after the holiday season is over. But unfortunately this year, it could be a whole lot more because this holiday season doesn't look like it's going to be particularly successful. In fact, Target just came out publicly. They said, we're going to lower our expectations. The holiday season doesn't look like it's going to be so good. And that made a lot of news that Target, one of the biggest retailers out there, plans to, it says they're not going to have such a great holiday season. Meanwhile, Target in particular, and this is happening industry-wide, but Target is being hit really hard by organized retail crime. In fact, they said that because of all this theft, they're going to have to, quote, reduce our gross margin by more than $600 million for the full year, unquote.
Wow.
So, yeah, Adelie, that's just Target.
That's hard to believe because Target's a major store. It's like Walmart. It's where we go from electronics to groceries to clothes to even our Christmas decorations. A lot of times people joke that women can't leave Target with just one item. They come out with a full shopping cart. And so it sounds like this could possibly even hit our small businesses even worse than the bigger stores.
Yeah, because of course, the bigger stores have more of a cushion to fall back on, more financing. They can, you know, but small businesses are often just barely scraping by from month to month. In fact, one recent survey found that about a third of all of our small businesses weren't able to pay their rent last month. And that was extremely alarming. So a lot of them are in big trouble. But so many of these retail establishments, they're caught between declining sales. They're having a hard time, you know, just, you know, getting their numbers, getting their sales to where they need to be. But meanwhile, what we're seeing is not just a few people stealing candy bars, Adelie. What we're seeing is organized groups of people that systematically go from store to store, from area to area. And what they do is they go in, they grab whatever they want, and then they go out. And they know most retail establishments have instructed their people not to try to physically accost these people, not to physically confront these people. And then it's particularly bad in states like California, which have extremely lax laws regarding shoplifting. In fact, if you keep your shoplifting under a certain level, then you know the penalties are very light. And so these sophisticated gangs realize that. And so they know even if the police are able to catch them, that they're only going to get basic slap on the wrist as long as they keep what they're stealing below a certain level. And so they do that. They're very sophisticated, and this is happening all over the nation. We've never seen anything like this before, Adelie.
I agree. It's something I've never remember even learning about in school or reading in the news, where it seems like there is this underground crime scene that is determined to destroy the communities and the different businesses and to rob from them. And how you also talk about who's getting impacted the most, because you were also talking about in all your different financial articles recently how there is also a decline in the middle class. So is this not just the retailers? When these retail stores are getting hit this hard with the economy, with inflation, with organized crime, how hard is it hitting the classes?
Well, for the middle class, you know, the middle class is shrinking, and this has been going on for many years, but it's really accelerated with this inflation crisis, because what's happening is inflation is going up faster than our paychecks are. Our paychecks have been increasing a bit, but inflation so much more. And so real wages, which are defined as, you know, when you adjust wages for inflation, they've actually been declining for well over a year now, month after month after month. And so that means our standard of living is declining because our paychecks don't go as far. And we're not making a lot of money as it is. In fact, I wrote a recent article in which I broke down the latest numbers from the Social Security Administration just recently came out for last year. And what they showed is that half of all workers in the United States made less than $3,133 per month last year.
Wow, that's like rent rates. That's a rent. Like a lot of people are paying that in just rent for like a 3-bedroom in some areas. So that's somebody's rent for the month right there that's totally lost.
Oh, I totally agree with you. In fact, the average rent in the United States is now somewhere around $2,000, which is, you know, so when you're talking $3,100 And that's before taxes, by the way. That doesn't go very far today. And that's why, you know, so many households today, you know, you've got the husband working, you've got the wife working, you know, often you have, grown-up kids working. In fact, you know, I saw the other day something like slightly more than 50% of Generation Z is living at home with their parents, you know, because it's just so hard to pay for a place of your own in this type of environment. And you've got several surveys recently have found that close to 2/3 of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, so most people are just, you know, really just trying to scrape by, Adelie. And it's tough because, you got to pay your mortgage and then your groceries. You know, Adelie, the other day I went in to a local grocery store. I said, I'm just going to pick up a few things, right? Right? You always tell yourself that.
Yes. You go in with a list, but then you come out with more than what you need.
It's true. And so I went in and I didn't even go up and down the rows. I just went around the outside of the store. And so I started picking up a couple things. I said, oh, we need some milk, you know? And then, my wife needs some cream for her coffee. And, you know, I picked up a few other things. And then, you know, I got to the cash register and it wasn't anywhere close to a full shopping cart, but it was more than $190, you know?
I understand. I've been there where things that used to cost me, I'd get 4 or 5 items. It was less than $20. Now I'm paying $50. And I'm going, what happened?
Yeah, I still remember the days when I was single back in the day. I could get everything that I needed for the whole week, including a whole cake, because in those days I like to eat a lot of cake. And for just $25, I could get everything I needed, but those days are long gone.
Well, now a whole cake is $25. So yeah. That would be your whole grocery bill back then.
Yeah. Now a cake can be $25. I mean, things have changed.
Oh, wow. What, before we transition into more and talk about what the Federal Reserve is doing, what can we do as small business owners or as workers or just everyday mothers and fathers and grandparents and families to survive this, to survive the increase in our pricing? Even in fast food restaurants, it's all increasing higher and higher. What are some steps that we can take to survive this?
Yeah, believe it or not, I believe that Jeff Bezos of Amazon gave some really good advice. Yeah, who ever thought I would be saying he would be giving some good advice, but he was interviewed by CNN and they asked him, they said, what should we do? You know, because they were talking about a coming recession possibly and things are slowing down. And believe it or not, Jeff Bezos, who you'd think he's the head of Amazon, he would be saying, oh, go to my site and buy stuff.
Right.
But what instead he said, you know, now's maybe the time to put off some of those big purchases. Now's the time to kind of keep some dry powder. He's basically saying, you know, hey, watch what you're spending, you know, slim down a bit, you know, maybe put some things off for a while, you know, because you're going to need an emergency fund. You're going to need some money to fall back on. And now's not a time to be going into lots of debt to fund different new purchases, different fun things. You know, don't run up your credit cards. Don't get into lots of other types of debt. And I think that's really good advice. And I've been telling people to do this for years, mm-hmm. because like we mentioned, about 2/3 of the country live in paycheck to paycheck. You know, like you go back to 2008 and 2009, all of a sudden people started to lose their jobs, right? And we're starting to see it again.
Well, even Amazon was talking about layoffs and has laid off some people.
Yeah, Amazon, about 10,000 workers. Facebook is laying off people. Of course, Twitter's laid off a whole bunch of people. You've got companies like Cisco, you know, in Silicon Valley. Yeah, Cisco, which is, you know, they're laying off about 4,000 workers and their average worker makes more than $100,000 a year. So all of a sudden people that have been making a lot of money, well, now, boom, they're going to be out of work. But if you don't have an emergency fund, when you lose a job, when you get laid off and we're starting to see layoffs just like we did in 2008, well, then all of a sudden you can't pay your mortgage. You can't pay your power bill. And in 2008 and 2009, we saw countless people go from living middle-class lifestyles to losing just about everything very quickly because they all of a sudden they couldn't pay their bills and they lost their homes and we saw foreclosures skyrocket. So one of the main things people need to do on a practical level is, hey, build up that emergency fund, make sure that you can continue to pay your bills no matter what happens, because times are going to get rough and things happen in this type of an environment. And so make sure that you can keep going no matter what comes along.
With the Federal Reserve, it seems like sometimes we, the people, feel like they're waging war on us with the inflation in our administration and all the decisions they're making economically, that it's a war on the people to make us go down and have no money or have no resources. So when it comes to investing in all this discussion of crashes, a housing crash, it could be a market crash where we're going into a depression. What should we do with our investments? What are some things we need to be looking at to be investing, especially as believers?
Yeah, well, what people need to realize is that the environment has completely changed. And really, it's because of the Federal Reserve and our politicians in Washington, because the Federal Reserve came along and they just flooded the system with money. They, in fact, the 60 Minutes recently interviewed Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve. And 60 Minutes, the interviewer said, "You flooded the system with money," basically as a statement to Jerome Powell. And Jerome Powell looked right into the camera and said, "Yes, we did." And so they had flooded the system with money. Then our politicians in Washington had borrowed and spent trillions of dollars, and they also flooded the system with money. And basically what that did was create these giant bubbles in the real estate industry, in the financial markets, in crypto. And now these bubbles are bursting because they created all, they flooded the system with money, created all this inflation. So people wonder, where did inflation come from? It came from the Federal Reserve and our politicians in Washington. And I've been, I for the last couple of years, I've been warning about this, saying, hey, they're going nuts. It's going to create terrible inflation. Of course, that's precisely what happened. And so now the Federal Reserve is in panic mode, and they're saying, we got to do something about it. Oh yeah, back in the Jimmy Carter era, we raised interest rates to the roof, and that worked. That helped to get inflation under control. We'll do that again.
But ask somebody who lived back then, and they'd say, tell a totally different story if it worked or not.
Well, we had it horrible inflation for a time, but then the Federal Reserve raised interest rates dramatically. And if you remember the early 80s, mm-hmm. The first couple of years of the Reagan administration, we had this horrible recession, and it was extremely painful. But then eventually, later on in the Reagan years, inflation was under control. But at that time, we had not flooded the system with trillions and trillions of dollars of new money. So this is different,
Okay.
So it's going to be so much harder to get inflation under control. And in addition, we've got supply issues with supply chain problems and different things, which I've talked about on my websites. And we didn't have that in the early 1980s. So just raising interest rates is not going to solve what we're facing with inflation. However, what raising interest rates will do is it's going to burst some of these bubbles. And one of the things we're seeing, Adelie, is with the housing market. And so right now we're seeing, because interest rates have gone up so much, people can't afford to pay the prices they were paying for homes anymore, not even close, because potential mortgage payments are now so much higher. So if you're looking to buy a home, you're saying, wow, I can't afford these homes because, what I would have to pay each month is so much higher than it would have been, just 6 months or a year ago.
Well, not just that, you have to consider with that, I live in the state of Florida. Not only were the housing market was already increasing, but when we had the inflection of people moving out of what is called moving out of the blue states into red states, the housing and rent market just went astronomical. Like, I'm looking at prices and it's just crazy. And everybody's going, how can I afford to buy a house? Because everybody has, a lot of people I know, my friends and family, we have the desire and want to buy a house and land. But now it's like, it's sometimes renting a house is cheaper than buying a house, or the rent of an apartment is cheaper than renting a house. So that's, to me, I've seen make an impact in my area. And that, to me, is something you have to consider too. Would you agree or not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so many people have been moving down to Florida because of the pandemic, because of other factors. A lot of people like your governor down there. If you're looking for a place in Florida, man, I feel really sorry for you because prices are so high. Now, the bad news for those that want to sell a home is that prices are starting to come down, and they're going to come down even more because home sales in last month were 28.4% lower than they were in October the previous year. because people just can't afford these, if to pay these high prices. So home prices are going to come down more and more and more. So if you're looking to sell a home, you need to try to sell it as quickly as you can, because prices are going to go a lot lower. In fact, prices have already come down so much that last quarter, Adelie, home equity, home values in the United States declined by $1.3 trillion just in that just in those 3 months. That was the largest amount that home values have fallen in one quarter in all of U.S. history. So we've already seen people lose the in the value of their homes that much. That was in that quarter. And now here in the fourth quarter.
That is huge.
It is huge. And we're going to see a similar amount. We're going to see, you know, something similar here in the fourth quarter as home values come down. And it's such a hard time overall for in the real estate industry. We just learned this week, 37% of real estate agents couldn't even afford to pay their office rent last month because, you know, they're not getting a lot of sales. The industry is depressed right now. So they're having a really hard time. New home builders, it's really, really hard for them because, you know, people mm-hmm. can't afford to buy homes. People are not looking to buy homes with mortgage rates so high. So the whole, if you work in the real estate industry, it's going to be a real, real bad time for you. Think 2008, 2009, when things got really, really bad. Those that, you know, are involved in helping people get mortgages. Well, mortgage demand for mortgages has just dropped through the floor. And so the real estate industry is basically, they're saying it's a real estate recession. Really, if we keep going this direction, it's going to be a real estate depression for the whole industry. And so, you know, in my articles, I'm saying, please, Federal Reserve, stop raising interest rates. You're killing the housing market and the real estate industry. But Adelie, instead of just stopping or reducing rates, the Federal Reserve officials keep telling us they're going to keep raising rates. And that's really, really bad news, not only for the real estate industry, but the entire economy.
Let's transition to what people are really talking about a lot too with investments is cryptocurrency. There's been a huge scandal being talked about with Ukraine and the money we've been sending to the Ukraine, and we're getting ready to send even more money to the Ukraine. Explain what is going on and how that's affecting our economy and with FTX.
Yeah, Adelie, a lot of people are talking about the cryptocurrency bubble and at what just happened to FTX. Of course, that was not the first domino to fall, but the biggest one that made all sorts of headlines. But people need to remember, okay, this all goes back once again to the Federal Reserve because, you know, they pumped all these trillions and trillions of dollars into the financial system. It had to go somewhere. And so a lot of it went into these massive bubbles. And the cryptocurrency industry was a massive bubble where we saw just the values of these tokens just go through the roof. And these firms, which were, had leading positions in the industry, you know, just got extreme valuations. And so what had happened is the bubble got bigger and bigger and bigger, and people were making a lot of money. But then people started taking bigger and bigger risks. And so what happened to FTX, and I'll really simplify things because it gets very complicated because they had like, you know, somewhere around 100 different shell companies and money was going from one entity to another. But kind of the biggest problem with FTX is, you know, clients were putting so much money into FTX, you know, to invest in cryptocurrencies, and it was supposed to stay in FTX, but then FTX was lending so much of that money to one of their firms called Alameda Research. And then Alameda Research was investing that money into very, very risky crypto investments and other types of investments. And that was fine as long as the bubble kept going and everything kept going up. But then the Federal Reserve turned off the spigot, you know, because they were concerned about inflation. So the Federal Reserve stopped pumping money into the financial system. And then the crypto bubble started to burst. And so various cryptocurrencies started to decline 70, 80%. And then all of a sudden, you've got Alameda Research over there just having massive losses. They basically lost all the money that they had been investing. And then, and so then FTX has giant holes on their balance sheet because all this client money, which was supposed to belong to clients, well, instead it was over at Alameda Research. It had been, and they blew the money over there. And so they don't have money to repay clients all of a sudden. And all of a sudden they have far more liabilities than they do assets. And so and then it got exposed and there was a panic and there was a run and they were basically wiped out. And so you have Sam Bankman-Fried, who at the beginning of this month, Adley, he was worth $16 billion. Now he is worth zero. In fact, probably less than zero because of the money he personally owes for different things. But in terms of his fortune, which was in his company and in the tokens that his company had issued, that has gone to zero. So imagine going from being worth $16 billion to zero in less than a month.
Well, that is really something to think about. Like, is this something we need to like pull back on investing in as cryptocurrency or digital currency and go more into like resources like gold and silver?
Well, gold and silver have been considered money all throughout human history. And so, in the long run, I do love gold and silver, particularly silver, because I think it's undervalued. But gold and silver are going to go up and down quite dramatically, as so many other things have been. So if you don't want to be in for a wild ride, if you can't handle the ride, then you may want to avoid it, because there will be wild ups and downs in gold and silver, and people should be aware of that. And we've seen ups and downs in the financial market. And so, you know, as a whole, because, you know, that the FTX is starting to bleed throughout the rest of the cryptocurrency industry, but there are other, you know, many of the biggest players on Wall Street were heavily invested in FTX. So these dominoes and this thing is going to play out over time. And one financial, for example, you know, a company called Genesis, they had $170 million locked in an FTX trading account, which is basically now totally gone. And so now they're saying, hey, if we can't raise more money, we might have to declare bankruptcy. So the dominoes are going to start to fall and people need to be aware of this. But this is a time for caution in terms of looking at Wall Street, in terms of looking at your investments. And we've already seen certain stock prices go down dramatically. For example, you look at Tesla. For years, Tesla stock went up and up and up and up. But now, the market value of Tesla is $670 billion lower than it was at this time last year. And so when you're talking about $670 billion in value, people need to, just to give people a rough idea, that's equivalent to basically the market value of three Disneys. So basically the amount that Tesla has declined in value since this time last year is basically eliminating three Disney corporations. That's a lot of money. So some stocks that people may have been invested in, Adley, have already crashed, have already fallen dramatically, particularly a lot of the tech stocks. And I would warn people, as the Federal Reserve continues to raise interest rates and as various bubbles continue to burst, we're going to see a lot more volatility in the months ahead and certainly into 2023.
I have two more questions I want to get in before we go into where is God in all of this? And my next question is, us normal everyday people, a lot of us have credit cards. And with interest rates going up, it seems like our interest rate on our credit cards are going up. How do we balance that out and to stay out of debt, even with the credit system?
Yeah, credit cards are a particularly bad form of debt because, of course, the interest rates on credit cards are so much higher than on auto loans or on mortgage debt or on student loan debts. And so you can get into problems with credit card debt very, very rapidly. In fact, I just saw that the average interest rate on credit cards has hit an all-time high. And so credit card companies are really trying to squeeze their customers. So what I would encourage people is avoid credit card debt. If you pay for something with a credit card and you pay it off every month, I mean, that's fine, but you don't want to carry balances from month to month because that's just a way to wipe out your own personal wealth and make somebody else rich, you know? So now if you have credit card balances right now, I would encourage you to try to pay them off. In particular, you know, people say, oh, get out of debt. but you want to get out of the types of debt with the highest interest rates first, because those are the most painful for you. So rather than saying, hey, I'm going to pay off my mortgage, you want to pay off your credit cards first, because, you know, a mortgage may have an interest rate of right now, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7%, but hey, you could be paying 17, 18, 19% on your credit card. So, you know, when in paying off debts, put your credit cards at the top of the list in terms of paying that off. And you especially don't want to be paying high credit card bills when we move into a recession. You want to get lean and mean, is what I like to say when we're moving into a downturn, troubled times. Get lean and mean.
Lean and mean.
And that means reducing your debts, especially high interest debts like credit cards.
My final question about the economy and our finances and what's happening right now is, what if the Federal Reserve fails? What would happen?
Oh, in terms of the Federal Reserve itself, yes, going bust, going bankrupt.
Yes.
Well, you know, in terms of the Federal Reserve itself, they have the ability to always create more money, you know, which is unfortunate. And they use that ability to kind of create the giant mess we've got into itself. So the Federal Reserve is not going to fail as an institution, because they would just create more money, which of course creates more inflation. But on a larger scale, they have failed in their mission for the American people. They failed their stewardship of the financial system. They failed, basically they're committing economic malpractice right now, because they've played a major role in creating the problems we have right now. And now their solutions that they're coming with, raising interest rates and other things they're doing, are creating other types of problems, like crashing the real estate market, crashing the cryptocurrency industry, and so forth and so on. So the Federal Reserve is failing in terms of their mission and what they're doing, and creating massive problems. And so I expect we're moving into a future when we're going to have more inflation, and we're going to have a people talk about stagflation, but really we're moving into recessionary type of a environment. And beyond that, if the Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates, we're going to have a depressionary type environment, very, very painful. So in terms of the, you know, as an institution, they've really failed in their mission, failed in what they failed the American people, which is a horrible thing. So there'll be calls for change. There'll be calls for reform. There'll be calls for something new as things get worse. And that's extremely unfortunate, because, you know, of course, for more than a decade, I've been saying that the Federal Reserve should be shut down and should be eliminated. And now a lot of people are starting to understand why.
And now let's go into the spiritual. Let's sum up this whole interview and the things we have talked about. Where is God in all this? Are we fulfilling prophecy? Are we in the end times? Like, what should we be looking for? Where are the signs that we should be listening to the Holy Spirit and guidance in all of this?
Yeah. This really, you know, of course, I just came out with a new book entitled End Times. And that's really what ties everything together, because we're not just looking at the collapse of the economy, Adelie. We're not just looking at economic problems. But right now, we're seeing so much that we've been talking about, that I've been coming on the Charisma Podcast Network and talking about for years. And I said, hey, these things are coming. And they're all happening all at once. And so all these things are tying together. You know, they're seeing the red heifers coming over to Israel. I talk about that in the new book. Or we're talking about so many of the things, you know, where Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, in the end times, in the period just before his return, we have wars and rumors of wars. And a couple of years ago, you know, I was talking, you know, and in the previous books I wrote, I said, hey, war with Russia is going to be coming. And at the time, a lot of people said, Michael, you're crazy. And, you know, and those days I would talk to Dr. Green, and Dr. Green was like, are you sure, Michael? You know,
and now we're in one.
But now war with Russia is here. You know, I said, hey, war with China is going to be coming. A couple of years ago, people said, war with China? Are you nuts, Michael? We trade with China. China is our friend. But now, you know, people on both sides are saying, hey, you know, we got to prepare for war. This thing with Taiwan is heating up. You know, war with Iran and Israel is coming. Netanyahu is about to come into office, and people are greatly concerned about what's coming there next. And now we're seeing global food shortages. In the UN, says that the head of the UN, the Secretary General, says, hey, 2023, there's going to be multiple famines, global famines. You know, I was warning about this a couple of years ago, and now it's here, you know, and natural disasters, you know, and plagues, you know, where we've got COVID and we've got monkeypox and we've got now RSV is sweeping across America. Our hospitals are filling up with children that are catching RSV. You know, we've got the bird flu pandemic, which has now killed about 50 million chickens and turkeys here in the United States. It's why your turkey costs so much this Thanksgiving. In Europe, 47 million chickens and turkeys are dead. So you got a total of 97 million chickens and turkeys dead just in the United States and Europe alone. And so all these things, and there's so much, because in this new book, Adelie, I've got 43 chapters. I've never packed more information into a single book ever before. And, you know, and because there's so much going on, and we could talk for hours on this program about all the things.
Yes, we could.
We could, literally, that are happening right now.
It's like, I want to ask more questions about the red heifer. So I'm going to have you come back and us talk about the different signs we're seeing of things you've talked about, but now you're really seeing them come to pass. So when you mentioned the red heifer, I was like, oh, I need to have you back about that.
Yeah. I got five red heifers just got taken to Israel for the first time in more than 2,000 years. We have perfect red heifers in Israel, which is, you know, something we've been waiting for all this time. We've been waiting for decades. I mean, literally, Adelie, since the 1980s, in 1970s, 1980s, we've heard Jesus is coming back. The end times are coming. Well, I believe that it's time for the message to change. I believe we need to say, hey, the end times are here. So many of the things that we've been waiting for are now happening right in front of our eyes. And so I've tried to bring all the pieces of the puzzle. In fact, I almost called the book Pieces of the End Times Puzzle, but it was a little bit too long. So I just called it End Times. But it's all coming together. And so I hope people get this book and share it to others, because it's a great witnessing tool as unbelievers understand that the Bible talked about all these things thousands of years in advance. And we're living in these times. Wow. You know, the light goes on and people understand. And so I believe Bible prophecy will be the number one witnessing tool in these end times. And so I encourage people to get the book and then share it with their unbelieving family and friends. And so we can get people saved, because I believe we're moving into the greatest harvest of souls in all of human history. And I want to be part of that.
Thank you, Michael, for taking the time today to talk with us, to explain what is going on in the markets, what can we expect this holiday season where we're out shopping, what we need to do with our money, and what we need to invest in and not to invest in. And I just thank you so much. Before we close out, what is one takeaway that we can do today to change our life for the Lord that will help the market, to help our neighbors, to help our churches in this end time?
Yeah, well, the number one thing, one of the things I want people to take away from all this is that you can have, even though economic conditions are going to get rough, and globally, global events, things out there, things are going to get crazy, because we are in the end times. We are in the times that Jesus warned us about, Matthew 24, and we're moving into the book of Revelation times, and we are the book of Revelation generation. A lot of people say, oh no, things are going to get really, really bad. But what I want people to understand is, things are going to get rough, but God specifically chose to put you at this moment in all of human history. He could have put you at any time in human history, but God in his sovereignty chose to put you here right now. And he specifically chose to put you at wherever you're living, at this place, at this time, and he's got a job for you to do. And if you realize that God put you at this moment, at all of human history has been building up to this grand crescendo, and we get to be here for it, and God has a mission and a job for us to do at this particularly chaotic and crazy time of human history, well, that's something to get excited about, something you can, because you've got a purpose, you've got meaning, you were born for such a time as this. And so that should get us closer to God. That should get us seeking God, saying, God, what is my mission in this hour of human history? Rather than the approach of a lot of people, when things get hard, they're going to curl up in a fetal position. They're going to be depressed. They're going to start taking pills. They're going to say, oh, woe is me. My investments are ruined. My career is ruined. What's happening, God? Why are all these bad things happening? People who respond like that are totally missing the point. They're totally missing what God is doing, and they're threatened to totally miss what God wants to do with their lives, because they're totally having the wrong response. So I want people to have hope, be excited for the future. I'm excited for the future. Yeah, things are going to get crazy, but I also believe, Adelie, that it's going to be the greatest hour for the people of God.
You heard it here, listeners. be hopeful, be excited, see what's going to be happening in times, because God has his hand on us. And Michael, again, you have just helped us understand better today where we stand and what in the world economics and in our country, and how we can take notice and not be of the world and be of God. And if you'd like to read more from Michael, you can go to the Economic Collapse blog or themostimportantnews.com. You can also find his new book, End Times, at amazon.com. You have been listening to the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Adelie.